Hello, this is Sharon, and I'll be bringing you the pantograph for today, Wednesday, August 19th, 2020. We begin our reading on the front page with an article entitled Art Inspiration, Illinois Art Station. Leaders with the Illinois Art Station hope a plethora of flora and fauna at its soon-to-be new home will spark inspiration for young artists. I think it is perhaps the most breathtaking view in the town of Normal, said Dr. Laura E. Burke, president of the Illinois Art Station Foundation and its founding donor. It's just a jewel of a spot, and we would like the entire community to have the opportunity to visit it and experience it. The nonprofit art education organization purchased three properties at 101 East Vernon Avenue and 605 and 607 South Linden Street in June for its first permanent location. The Normal Town Council on Monday okayed rezoning the properties and a site plan for future construction. The Illinois Art Station, founded in 2018, offers art experiences to nearly 3,000 young people and their families through local partnerships with organizations including the Boys and Girls Club of Bloomington Normal and Bloomington and Normal Public Libraries. It is known for its large-scale murals by local young people and professional teaching artists at Market Street and Morris Avenue and inside the Constitution Trail Tunnel under Washington Street. One of the properties, 101 East Vernon, was originally part of Custer Brothers Nursery, which operated from 1890 through 1950, before the nursery relocated several blocks to the east, said Burke. At that time, the Custer family built a home on the former nursery site where they lived until 2007, when it was purchased by John Freeze, former chief judge of the 11th Judicial Circuit, and his wife Marilyn. When it came time for the Freeze family to sell the home, they intended to ensure the preservation of the property's natural surroundings, Burke said. The Illinois Art Station plans to preserve as many of the original trees and shrubs and potentially add historical signage, said Burke. By doing so, the organization hopes the natural space and beauty could provide art inspiration. This site provides just a magnificent opportunity for our young people to learn about the importance of preserving the natural world, how it can be done, and how to represent what nature means to them in regards to art, said Burke. Now, the Illinois Art Station is preparing to begin fall construction and remodeling the former Custer family home into an art education and studio space, said Laura Jaster, executive director. Current plans include a building addition and remodeling for a two-level facility complete with lobby space, a small art gallery, and two art studios. Jaster said the project could be completed as early as summer 2021. The two homes at 605 and 607 South Linden will be torn down and turned into a rain garden to help with stormwater runoff. A 13-space parking lot is planned with access off Linden Street. There will be six accessible parking spaces available on a circle drive between the house and Constitution Trail with access off Vernon Avenue. We're very excited about the design for the building, said Burke. We think that it fits just beautifully with the natural space. And in other business, the Normal Town Council approved on Monday night several resolutions, including a collective bargaining agreement with the Police Benevolent and Protection Association, Unit 22. An agreement with HCI Active and eHealth for employee wellness services. A renewal of the employee group dental, health, and life accident, death, and dismemberment program. Waiving bids and authorizing staff to execute an agreement with HCI Active and eHealth for employee wellness services. A water contract with Michael Massing for property located at 4252 East Robb Road. And an amended final development plan for Crunch Fitness at 301 Veterans Parkway in the shops at College Hills for a planned unit development. Bruce, guilty of murder and home invasion. Taiwan Bruce was found guilty Tuesday of first-degree murder in the December 2018 death of a Bloomington man. A McLean County jury reached the verdict after roughly 5 hours of deliberations that started late Monday afternoon. Bruce, 21, of Decatur, was charged in the death of 20-year-old Egerton Dover, who was shot and killed December 5, 2018, in his West Bloomington home. He was found guilty of murder involving home invasion and involving robbery, as well as guilty on separate charges of home invasion and robbery. The charges were made under legal accountability laws that allow a person to be charged if the death occurred during commission of a forcible felony. Bruce's bond was revoked and he was returned to the McLean County Jail until a sentencing hearing scheduled for 1:30 p.m. on October 8th. Because the jury also believed Bruce was armed when these offenses occurred, a 15-year firearm enhancement will be applied to his sentence in October. After the verdict was returned, Assistant State's Attorney Tamara Wagoner and Mary Lawson said they were pleased with the outcome of the trial and happy for Dover's family. "I feel like justice was served," Lawson said. Wagoner added, "Even though the case may have seemed complicated, for us it was clear. But that's because we had the benefit of the Bloomington Police Department, who did a phenomenal job." Investigators could not determine if Bruce or another suspect, Curtis Harrison, pulled the trigger, but it doesn't matter which one of the two, whether it be the defendant or Curtis, which one of them pulled the trigger, because they were both part of entering the house to commit the robbery, Wagoner said in her closing arguments Monday, to end the trial that had lasted just over a week. Bruce was one of three Decatur men police identified as suspects in Dover's death. Anthony Grampus was found guilty of first-degree murder and home invasion when a McLean County jury returned a verdict on July 23rd. Prosecutors argued Grampus drove the car that took Bruce and Hairston, 18, to Dover's home the morning he was shot. Hairston, who police have said was believed to be involved, died during a 2019 shooting in a Decatur restaurant. Wagoner argued Bruce was legally responsible for Dover's death, even if he didn't pull the trigger, because he played a central role in planning to rob the victim. In her opening statements, Bruce's attorney, Mackenzie Frezel, said he was innocent, both factually and under the law. Mark Messman, the defendant's other attorney, argued in his closing that the prosecutors had no evidence linking Bruce to Dover's death. He said other people could be responsible, including the victim's friend who called 911 and a person who was seen with the gun believed to be the murder weapon. ISU student parties spark COVID worry. The return of college students to Bloomington Normal generally brings an uptick in complaints about loud parties and large gatherings. But the COVID-19 pandemic adds another element. concern that those gatherings could spread the coronavirus. Illinois State University has instituted on-campus protocols such as wearing face masks and limiting the size of gatherings to help control the spread of COVID-19. But the university can't control off-campus activities, said spokesman Eric Jome. In all of our communications over the summer and continuing through now, and in ongoing education, a big component of that is strongly encouraging people to avoid large gatherings, said Jome. We're trying to educate people and really push a message of social responsibility that we're all part of trying to keep everyone safe. But that didn't stop a large gathering from happening near campus the weekend before classes started on Monday. ISU President Larry Dietz took note of the situation in his welcome letter to students, in which he asks students to avoid large crowds and encourage others to do the same. While responding to a large off-campus gathering this past weekend, officials observed hundreds of people not following the most basic tenets of coronavirus safety, ignoring protocols for physical distancing and the wearing of face coverings, he wrote. Although I cannot confirm all involved were Illinois State students, that is the perception, Deeds said. I cannot overemphasize how important it is that we follow all public health guidance. It is provided for the sole purpose of protecting each of us from contracting COVID-19. Bloomington Police Department spokesman John Furman said the city has not had any problems with student parties or large gatherings at Illinois Wesleyan University. Illinois Wesleyan University has fewer than 2,000 students compared to ISU's typical enrollment of between 20,000 and 21,000 students. IWU requires its students to live in university-approved housing, residence halls, or fraternity sorority houses for at least 6 semesters. Normal Police Chief Rick Bleichner said the town does not have an ordinance limiting the size of gatherings during the pandemic. However, as an issue of public health, we could disperse a gathering, he said. In general, Bleichner said, we'll use our traditional tools, enforcing rules against loud music and underage drinking, if either of those situations is present. Normal Police also work with on-site security in those off-campus student housing areas that have them. We have a pretty regular dialogue with property managers, said Bleichner. In most cases, they've been very responsive. Police also work with ISU's Dean of Students, he said. Dietz reminded students, ultimately what happens off campus will profoundly impact on-campus decisions. Please remember to follow all health and safety guidelines, especially those regarding physical distancing, face coverings, hygiene, and cleaning. Please avoid large crowds and encourage others to do the same. Following directives from Governor J.B. Pritzker's office, ISU has limited the size of on-campus gatherings. Bleichner said he was concerned that because of this, more students may look off campus for entertainment, including organizing their own parties. Now, in this day and age, why draw attention to yourself, said Bleichner. People are going to be more likely to call. If people want to report a gathering that is a nuisance because of its size or noise, Bleichner recommends calling the department's non-emergency general dispatch number, 309-888-5030. If the situation involves public safety, please call the emergency 911 line. Today's Flick Fact. Ask newcomers to Bloomington Normal what they find most surprising And many will say it's the wind, that it seems windier in Bloomington Normal than many other places. Is that actually true? It is. Based on statistics at Central Illinois Regional Airport, Bloomington Normal annually averages 10.4 mile per hour winds over the course of a year, one of the highest wind speed averages in the state of Illinois. In an average year, August is the least windy month. Today in history. Today is Wednesday, August 19th. It's the 232nd day of 2020, and we have 134 days left in this year. Today's highlight: on August 19th, 1814, during the War of 1812, British forces landed at Benedict, Maryland, with the objective of capturing Washington, D.C. On this date in 1807, Robert Fulton's North River steamboat arrived in Albany 2 days after leaving New York. In 1812, the USS Constitution defeated the British frigate HMS Gurar off Nova Scotia during the War of 1812, earning the nickname of Old Ironside. In 1848, the New York Herald reported the discovery of gold in California. In 1909, the first automobile races were run at the just-opened Indianapolis Motor Speedway. The winner of the first event was auto engineer Louis Switzer, who drove a Stoddard Dayton touring car twice around the 2.5-mile track at an average speed of 57.4 miles per hour. In 1934, a plebiscite in Germany approved the vesting of sole executive power to Adolf Hitler. In 1942, during World War II, 6,000 Canadian and British soldiers launched a disastrous raid against the Germans, suffering more than 50% casualties. And in 1960, a tribunal in Moscow convicted American U-2 pilot Francis Gary Powers of espionage. Although he was sentenced to 10 years imprisonment, Powers was returned to the United States in 1962 as part of a prisoner exchange. And how time flies locally, from the past pages of the Pantograph. 100 years ago, on August 19, 1920, everyone thought Thomas Brown was dead. He left to fight in the Civil War and later the Indians over 50 years ago. Then he disappeared, but he was found alive and well in the soldiers' home in Danville. Brown is 75, hearty and spry, and likes the soldiers' home. 75 years ago, August 19, 1945, the Sylvania and Williams oil-o-matic plants were hit with cancellation of wartime contracts. As a result, the Sylvania plant is temporarily closed, and about 25% of the Williams workforce is laid off. The plants will now convert to peacetime production. 50 years ago, August 19, 1970, the area has lost two more leaders. Emden native J.B. McCormick graduated from the old IWU Law School and became president of the University of Arizona. Also, former Downs Township supervisor Frank Roop, 66, has died. He served there for 20 years. And 25 years ago, today, August 19, 1995, the Prairie Air Show is on, sponsored by the Pantograph and the Prairie Aviation Museum. Twin City residents are seeking a lot of unusual planes over town, including three Stearman biplanes making practice flights over ISU. The weather is hot, but the crowds are big. recoveries touted for McLean County. The number of people recovered from COVID-19 in McLean County outnumbered new cases on Tuesday, and LaSalle County reported another COVID fatality and 33 new cases. Three more McLean County residents have COVID-19, but two have been released from hospitalization and four have recovered, County Health Department Administrator Jessica McKnight said on Tuesday. A total of 779 people have had the virus since March 19th. Later Tuesday, an Illinois Department of Public Health online map indicated that McLean County had 834 cases. McKnight explained to the Pantograph that the County Health Department reports on positive lab results after the Health Department confirms that the individuals who have tested positive are actually McLean County residents. As a result, Health Department numbers are often behind those reported by the state because we do our best to ensure we are only reporting confirmed cases in McLean County, McKnight said. McKnight reported Tuesday that two people have been released from hospitalization, meaning four people remain hospitalized with COVID in McLean County. One is an intensive care unit. One more person was in home isolation, bringing the total number of county residents in isolation on Tuesday to 137. Four more county residents have recovered from the virus, meaning 622 of the 779 residents diagnosed with COVID have recovered. No new deaths were announced in McLean County on Tuesday. On Monday, the health department announced that a woman in her 60s had died of COVID, the county's 16th COVID fatality and the first in more than a month. The health department also reported 38 new COVID cases on Monday, a new single-day high for McLean County. The county's positivity rate, which is the percentage of tests of county residents that have come back positive for the virus, for the seven-day period ending on Monday, was 2%, McKnight reported. The county's overall positivity rate of the more than 36,500 tests conducted since March is 2.1%, McKnight said. LaSalle County Health Department Public Information Officer Jenny Berry reported that a woman in her 80s had died of COVID, meaning 35 people have died of COVID this year and 17 this month in LaSalle County. LaSalle County also reported 33 new COVID cases, bringing that county's total to 995. The new cases ranged from a girl under the age of 13 to a woman in her 80s, the health department reported. Of the 995 people, 495 have recovered from the virus. Illinois Department of Public Health reported 1,740 new COVID cases on Tuesday and 27 additional deaths. Since COVID hit Illinois in March, 209,594 people have had the virus, and 7,782 of them have died. The statewide positivity rate for cases as a percent of tests for the 7 days ending Monday was 4.3%. As of Monday night, 1,510 people were hospitalized with the virus in Illinois, with 335 of them in intensive care units. McKnight, in a prepared statement, continued to discourage people from having or attending large gatherings, calling them a high risk for spreading the virus. Parties and events where social distancing is not practiced needlessly put all those present in danger, McKnight said. In addition, anyone could unknowingly spread the virus to friends, family, or coworkers who are more vulnerable. In addition to avoiding large gatherings, McKnight recommended that people wash their hands, keep at least 6 feet away from people outside of their household, and wear a mask in public. At the COVID-19 testing site at the McLean County Fairgrounds, 1106 Interstate Drive, Bloomington, 588 people were tested on Monday, McLean County Emergency Management Agency reported on Tuesday. That testing site, operated by Reditus Laboratories, is open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily for anyone who can complete a nasal self-swab test. County Board approves arena as polling place on Election Day. Voters will be able to cast ballots at Grossinger Motors Arena on November 3rd, according to an intergovernmental agreement approved by the McLean County Board on Tuesday night. The tentative agreement, which was approved by the County Board Finance Committee on August 5th, also must be okayed by the Bloomington City Council. The city owns the arena at 101 South Madison Street. The county board, which met remotely, approved the agreement unanimously. The city council is expected to take up the matter at its virtual meeting, 6 p.m. Monday, said city communications manager Nora Dukowitz. I was very happy to get the support from the county board that we can join the Bloomington Election Commission at the arena on Election Day. The arena provides a nice large space where we can accommodate many voters. The proposed agreement is in response to a new state law mandating that all election authorities establish one location where all voters in the jurisdiction can cast ballots if they wish to do so on Election Day. The clerk's office, which oversees elections in McLean County outside Bloomington, and BEC, which oversees elections in Bloomington, agreed to have one vote center for all McLean County to make it easier for voters. The arena would accommodate many voters while allowing for social distancing to keep voters and election judges safe amid COVID-19. The city wouldn't charge the county a fee to use the arena. Registered voters may still vote by mail, vote early in person, or vote at their usual polling places on Election Day, November 3rd. Michael told the Pantograph that she's received more than 7,220 vote-by-mail applications, compared with the previous record of 1,500 for March 2020. Voting by mail isn't new to Illinois, but the General Assembly passed legislation this year requiring election authorities to mail vote-by-mail applications to active registered voters because of concerns about waiting in line at polling places as COVID-19 numbers continue to rise. We will take a short break now, and then I'll return with the second half of the Pantograph for Wednesday, August 19th, 2020. Please stay tuned.